Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. It's a public call here today, so just remember, if you could, to stay off names and places, and I'm all ears if you'd like to tell me how I can best help. I'd be happy to do what I can.
Yes, so I have written a letter, but I worry for I can pronounce it while I read it, so I'll try to remember what I wanted to say. So
I'm sorry, just are you on a phone or a speakerphone? It's a little tough to hear you.
Oh, I'm on my phone.
You don't happen to have a headset or anything, do you?
I have headphones.
You have headphones on?
Yes.
Okay, can you just tap the microphone? I just want to make sure that the phone is picking up the right microphone.
Yeah, I add more volume.
Okay.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so today's topic, I would like to talk about boundaries and like trust myself, but not like that way, like I don't like myself. I like, but for more weight, like person, it's like that my opinion have done. So in that sense, I want to start about perfectionism. I'm so sorry.
Are you walking around? There's a lot of background noise or rustles, I'm just having a tough time hearing you. That combined, it's not your fault. Of course, you have a bit of an accent.
Yeah.
And it's just a little tough to hear.
Yeah, I'm trying. Yeah, I'm walking, but I found quieter place. Okay, so start again. So I want to talk about boundaries and like how trust myself more, like person who have weight, like opinion matter in that kind of sense.
Okay. All right. So tell me what's going on in your life that this is a problem.
Yeah. So I have a lot of perfectionism. I usually never is enough what I do. I could do better. And for example, in my work, I had meeting with was kind of insulting events because I took really seriously this complaints how we do bad or work, but I saw companions almost crying, and later they said that I do good my job, but I feel kind of that opinion is like echo about that it's like never enough. So I would like to dig deeper. What is behind that? Because I have avoidant attachment, so I suspect that behind all this perfectionism and everything is something more way deeper.
Ah, okay. And what are you in your 20s or 30s or something else?
30s, and I work as a teacher, but I work with disabled kids, and I really like my job. And before this meeting, I thought that all is great, but we want like to work over time. It's like what you do is like not enough. So I felt like disappointed, and even start doubt if I'm doing good.
Okay, so you're in your 50s, and can you tell me a little bit about your life as a whole? Are you married? Do you have kids?
No, I'm 30s. It's my accent probably. It's like 37. Will be soon.
Sorry, can you just say that again? You're what age?
37.
37, it's okay. Like, sorry, my apologies. Okay, so you sounded younger, but some people you can't tell. So, okay, so you're 37, and tell me about your life as a whole, outside of work.
Yeah, so I also found that I choose like unavailable men and make them like my project too. It's like I see reason why we can't be together, but somehow I can fix it. So in my life, I'm a single mother, and I saw it's like repeating this pattern. It's like I choose a person who for some reason can't have like healthy, normal relationship, and later I try and make it like that. So also, I think adds up near perfectionism and the boundaries. It's like trying like different kind of ways to analyze, understand another person point of view, why is like that. In one of the podcasts you talk that growing up between crazy people becomes your like managing crazy people like life skill. So I feel like that way. It's like my interest is like why people behave like that. I mean, I'm into a lot of analyzing too.
Okay. And how many children do you have?
One.
Okay. And were you married to the child's father?
No, I'm not. So I also, we have like, we've been engaged, but I myself cancel that. So I suspect that at that moment, I thought that how I was able to choose a person like that, how I was able to be in a situation like that. But as more and more time goes by, I notice it's like maybe something that's more reason why I choose that way or live that way. So today's my like question. I really wonder what is behind that.
Right. Okay. And why did you break off the engagement?
Because I was really jealous, controlling, and later turns out into even abusive.
Oh, so, God. Sorry. I'm sorry to hear that. I really am. That's very sad. I'm very sorry to hear about that. And abusive, like physically violent?
There's no, but in the end, yes. Turns out even until that point. And I tried really analyze him, understand his bad childhood, stuff like that. So I give a lot of, praise, like, help me to change. And I really tried to help him change. I mean, it's like it took a lot of energy.
And how long were you together for?
We've been like 5 years, but living together four.
Okay. And what did you find attractive about him?
Yeah, so I found it attractive, like probably now thinking because I'm like in anxiety, try to do best I can something. So he was like artist, kind of that one.
Sorry, I didn't quite catch that.
Yeah, it was like doing art, artist.
I'm not catching that word, sorry. He was an artist.
Yes.
Oh, heaven help you. Oh, no. Oh, no. Was he a hot artist? Was he a handsome artist?
No, really. I mean, he considered himself ugly. And I was like the one who say, no, you like beautiful, you're nice. It's like I wanted to lift him up.
All right.
So,
and when did he, when did he first start? Mm-hmm. When did you first notice that he was controlling?
Oh, he started even talking. I noticed it's like controlling, but I tried to justify it. Like over time, it goes how he grew up and things like that. So I think my problem was like, for some reason, I thought that I had some power to change another person. So now I see it's like his lips look like moving the rack, but it fell down. But at the time, I thought that everything is possible. It's like people can change. Even he said he can change.
Now you get your first gold star of the conversation because this is the first question you have dodged. So
yeah,
what was my question?
A question was that helped. He was artist.
My question was.
I forgot, if I'm honest.
No, that's fine. That's fine. My question was, when did you first notice he was controlling? Mm-hmm. And your answer was, I thought I could fix him, which is not the answer, right? That's and you don't have to answer any of my questions, but if you're not going to answer them, just tell me you're not going to answer them. So I'll ask again, I know it sounds like I'm nagging you, but when did you first notice he was controlling?
In first months, I think, because it was like, where do you go? What are you doing? And I didn't consider these questions like interrogation or something. In my mind, I thought like, question where I go. But by the time it was like FBI, like, where do you go? So it's not like I read. It was more like I felt like I need to give like a report.
Okay, so within the first couple of weeks of dating him, he was very controlling.
Yeah, basically, yes.
Long before you moved in together.
Yes.
So why did you keep going?
For me, it was kind of huge energy for change something. It's like I can change it. I can, if I understand enough. I know it sounds ridiculous now, but at the time, I in my energy, I thought I can something fix, change, help.
No, but why? Hang on. But why would you want to date a man you had to fix, rather than a man who wasn't controlling in the first place?
Really good question. I don't know. I mean, I met, like, I go on date, and when I'm in date, it's like this guy wasn't look like serious. We ask questions that don't look serious, and I really wanted, like, marriage, kids, be, like, an interesting person. So I found an interesting person in some way, but not marriage material.
Sorry, you didn't think he was marriage material?
No, I was like searching interesting person for like marriage, kids. But by the time I found out he's not marriage material, obviously he wasn't even have own a lot of problems.
Well, but you knew within the first couple of weeks that he was trolling, right?
Yes.
He wanted to know where you were at all times and so on, right?
Yeah.
So why... And I'm not asking this in a critical way. I'm genuinely curious. It is a big mystery for men why women go for bad men.
Yeah.
It is a big... Now, listen. I also understand that sometimes it's frustrating for women that men go for bad women. But I happen to be talking to a woman here, so it is a big mystery. Why women? Okay, was he wealthy?
No.
Was he very tall?
No.
Was he? He said he was ugly. I mean, objectively, was he handsome, medium, or ugly?
Well, in my eyes, wasn't ugly, but wasn't like a basketball player or stuff like that. Or I don't know, people consider it like top 10.
Okay. Was he very smart?
Yeah, I was smart.
He was smart. Okay. And did he have any other positive qualities? Smart is dangerous, right? Because if someone is smart and good, that's a big plus. If somebody is smart and bad, that's a huge minus because they're going to have a lot of skills on how to control you, right? So
yeah,
was he...
Right.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, you are completely right, because during this time I felt like in a haunted house. It's like don't know which ghost is coming from. It's like all my fears and everything go up. I didn't know even I have.
Yeah, if a woman wants to date a smart man, an intelligent man, she has to make sure he's a good man, because otherwise his intelligence will be used against her.
Yeah, I found out it, and like I said, I'm kind of like after that experience, longer time ago, I discovered I have avoidant attachment. That is like opened my eyes, and I found out that probably I was running from something this way. It's like I can have something, and I analyze, make logic. Yeah, it's like logic. I can't, but I. Her feeling is way more deeper. It's like I want to find this reason why I do it.
Right. Well, what did your friends and family think of this man?
Oh, my parents accepted, they welcomed him, and he looked like charming. But my best friend, she saw him and said, looks arrogant, and he didn't like her, and was like jealous when we speak too much. So. Yeah, so she basically saw another friend. I have another friend. She also have now currently guy who is jealous and controlling. So it's like add that with your idea of bad man, because she chose too. So she can judge me. I try to help her now.
Okay, so he wasn't wealthy. He wasn't tall. He wasn't handsome. Was he successful? Because, of course, as an artist, you can be successful without making much money.
as I saw, he had also like perfectionism, but he usually like to quit. He's like doing like perfect way, his own way. People say you're doing great. He's like enjoying attention and quit. He quitted like jobs, places was like not like in current particular place. He like even now like changing jobs is not steady. So he could be successful, but he like can handle long time in one place.
What kind of artist was he?
A tattoo artist.
I'm sorry?
Tattoo artist.
I'm sorry, can you spell that out?
Tattoo artist. I don't know how to say better. It's like my accent. It's like a tattoo is covering on skin.
A tattoo?
Yes.
Okay, that's not an artist.
They consider himself artist.
You're kidding me. Here, I'm thinking he's a playwright or a sculptor. He tattoos people. That's why I was having trouble understanding. Uh-huh. So you had a child with someone who hurts people for a living.
Yeah.
Okay. And he couldn't even keep a job as a tattoo artist.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. And your father was happy with you dating and moving in with a controlling tattoo artist.
This is my point. I think my dad, like when I grew up, was like away often, like not at home. So it was like, it's your choice.
So you said you grew up, your father was away from home a lot?
Yeah, it's like it wasn't at home. It's like all the time come back late. So wasn't at home.
And why was he not at home?
He all the time like was working. So I think I repeat this pattern myself. It's like all the time need something, try the best I can. So of course I try spend time with my child more as possible and be attuned to him. I don't want like repeat my childhood. But this part was like, he was away, and he's like, oh, it's your choice.
Okay, and what was your parents' relationship like?
We considered themselves like happy, but we were fighting a lot. It's like, even communication were like a lot of arguing. So as I saw, I didn't want that. But it repeated by itself. For me, it was like huge waking up. Then I realized it's like I chose even worse. It's like 10 times worse than I grew up myself. So why did I do that? So it's like a golden question, because as I know, people repeat their childhood for unconscious reason to have better outcome. But in my case, it was even worse, but it somehow opened a lot of knowledge. But sadly, it's like I wish I could back in time and be different. I mean, that time I felt like something familiar. It felt like this person is like that, like that. But I have like blind spot. For me, it was usual norm, because here was my environment, like people talking disrespectful with each other. So when he talked with me this disrespectful way, I just like passed.
Right, okay. And what did your parents fight about?
About a lot of things. It's like, looked like the little things set them off. It's like, was kind of anxiety in my home. A lot of, like, supposed to be stuff put one way, not another way. It's like, really dysregulated environment. Like, even myself, I have kind of little things in my home because for me, a lot of things make me, for me, anxiety, because usually these fights start for little things like mug, like cup of tea or something. So, and it was so crazy how it repeated this to my own relationship. We fight also about things, how they are put or how it's like ordered at home and stuff like that.
Okay. And how often did your parents fight in a week?
So often. I basically when previous guy who called you like yesterday, he said he don't remember his childhood. I don't remember too. My like basically 6 years, I like vanished. So I feel similar because it's like, I guess it was so much stress that I even don't remember. I know that we spend a lot of time in park for them be at home.
Right, okay. And you have siblings?
Yes, I have sister.
Okay. So when you got older and you can remember, how often did your parents fight?
Anthony's was like almost every day.
Okay, and are they still together?
Yes, but we consider it that it's like all okay, but as I see, it's kind of, especially after my this unsuccessful relationship, I see more different kind of way than before. Before I thought like some kind, I keep like little beautiful moments, and I kept it like forever. It was one beautiful moment like Tampa Christmas, and I keep it in my mind like saving like gold, like monets of gold I'm saving, and. For me, it looked like, oh, it's everything good. But after that, I see more bigger picture.
Okay. And what did your mother think of your boyfriend?
Well, she say he like tricked her because he like said all gonna be okay, life will be great. But I think from start, she kind of suspect that he will be different person than he acts.
Well, but he was controlling in the first few weeks. Did you tell your mother that?
Yeah, she knew, she saw, like, I'm kind of proving something, but also that didn't interrupt. At the time, I was 24 years old, so for me, it was, like, huge hopes. I thought I can change the world, but over and over, I had situations that the world changed me.
Well, I don't know. I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm not sure that you thought you could change the world because you saw your parents try to change each other by fighting and nagging and controlling each other. Did your parents ever succeed in changing each other for the better?
Good question. I don't know.
Well, sure you do. Hang on.
Yeah.
They fought every day, right?
Yes.
Did that fighting succeed in producing a happy marriage?
Probably not.
Well, are they happy now?
If I could ask them, they say happy, but I see from corner, no, because it's in huge anxiety, like, or nagging, like you say, it's like you did that wrong or you did this wrong.
Right.
So for me, it create like probably escape idea, like don't come closer to somebody because it could hurt me.
Okay, so what is your mother's biggest complaint about your father?
Obviously, that wasn't at home. That at work is everything perfect, but at home, if he doesn't pay attention, this kind of complaint.
Okay, so your mother complained that your father wasn't at home, okay?
Yes.
And she fought with him about this. Now, was her fighting with him, did that make him want to be at home more or less?
Of course, less.
Right.
He found excuses for them to be there.
Yeah, okay. So your mother was yelling at your father to come home and be at home. And when he was home, she yelled at him more, so he didn't want to be at home. So your mother, you saw, for decades, was trying to get your father to come home, but doing the opposite of, she was driving him away. Now, what was your father's biggest complaint about your mother?
Obviously, it's like high temper, impulsivity. It's like a lot. It's like a lot of person. I mean, it's like a lot of personalities. Like, I'll never disappear.
Okay. So, your father's biggest complaint about your mother was nagging or something like that?
Yep.
Okay. And did either of them get to change the other person? Did your father manage to get your mother to stop nagging? And did your mother get your father to come home when you were a child?
No, I mean, it was like more modeling for me. It's like I took that part that I didn't like and tried to change myself being like sweet. I usually go out and work like sweet, like kind. I'm trying to be less oppositional as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And it bring me a lot of trouble because later I found myself like, I wanted to say to you, but I forgot. I feel like George from McFly from Back to the Future. I feel like I'm interested a lot in my stuff, and comes Biff and say, "Why did you do that?"
Right.
And I'm trying like, understand. It's like, so I would like change this part of me because it disturbed me a lot, and I found over and over. It's like I try analyze people who overstepping my boundary.
Right. Okay. So you grew up seeing that your parents couldn't change each other.
Yes.
They kept trying and failing. And so you did not believe, because you're an intelligent woman, you did not believe that you could change a bad man because you saw your parents not changing each other your whole childhood.
But I had like kind of huge, like, I don't know how to explain, but like huge energy, just like sense that I can do it. I mean, I know it sounds like impossible, but at the time I thought I can.
Hang on. Sorry. So your parents wanted to change each other. Sure.
Yes.
But you saw them fail day after day, week after week, year after year, decade after decade. So they wanted to change each other, right?
Yeah, for sure we wanted.
But they failed.
But, yes.
And you wanted to change your boyfriend, but not because you really believed you could change him, because if your parents had tried to change each other and succeeded, then you would believe, okay, that can happen. But your parents never were able to change each other. I mean, I'm sure they fight less now just because they're older, right?
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. So you just get worn out, right? You just get tired. So you just give up to some degree. But it's not because, I mean, you've just run out of energy. It's like why criminals become less violent. They just get older, right? They just get tired.
Yeah.
It's not a moral thing. It's just a worn out thing. So do you know why your parents got married? Why did they get together?
I think it was different times, and at the time was like, if you're dating somebody, you marry this person. It wasn't like now, like you can choose, or people like really respectful for your choice. Before was like some kind of pressure, and at that kind of age, couples, they are still together most of them, as I know my parents' friends too, but they have also kind of stories where they look like good on paper, but inside home happen things like also fighting, or I mean behind closed doors. And in my case, I really wanted like something opposite, but it happened even worse.
Okay. Have you seen pictures of your mother when she was young?
Yeah, she was beautiful. I mean, one of the first things my dad noticed was she was beautiful.
Okay. So as a beautiful young woman, she could get most guys, almost every guy would date her, right?
Yep.
So if you say they got married because they kept dating, that doesn't answer the question. Sorry to be a nag. But the question is, of all the men, she could have dated probably 100 men in her environment.
Yeah.
I mean, she could have dated most people in the world, I'm sure. If she's a beautiful woman, she can date just about any man. So of all the 100 men she could have dated, she chose to date your father. I'm sure lots of men were asking her out. Now, I remember when I was in junior high school, there was this girl who was very pretty in the class, and we had a Valentine's Day card giving thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she got more cards than there were children and boys in the grade.
That's a lot.
No, like you could barely see her. She was, it was piled up. And what that means is that boys from other schools had found a way to send her a Valentine's Day card. And she, it was horrible in a way. It's certainly tough for all the other girls. But this girl who was beautiful got so much male attention, it was deranged. I mean, it was mad. And so I assume that your mother was one of these types of girls or young women. So she could have got any guy. And even this girl that I knew many decades ago ended up dating a guy who was not very high quality, whatever, right? And I just remember that, like, she had so many Valentine's Day cards. And I'm sure that the boys who put the Valentine's Day cards in tried to put something clever or witty or interesting or engaging in it, or chose the card with great care. And so she could have had her pick of just about any boy, would have been thrilled to go out with her. And she chose, I mean, an okay guy, but nothing real special. I don't think he ever ended up amounting to much. So that's the big question, is not, well, my parents dated, but why did your mother date a man she didn't like? That's always a big question and a big mystery. And again, if she's some, I don't know, some Laura Wingfield, really shy girl with a limp and a squinty eye, and I don't know, something
no,
like that.
No, she wasn't shy. No, she was like in your face.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, so she had the choice. And a woman's beauty to me is like, have you ever bought a lottery ticket?
Someday, one time, maybe. I don't really like anything, so I just like try and didn't want.
Yeah, so to me, a woman's beauty when she's young is like being able to choose a lottery ticket knowing which one will win, or at least having a pretty good indication of which one will win. Or at least you know which ones are not going to win. And so it's like, it's like having 1,000 lottery tickets and they glow. Like the ones that are most likely to win glow the brightest, and the ones that are least likely to win are dark. And you have 1,000 lottery tickets in front of you, and you choose the darkest one. You choose the one that is not going to win. A woman's beauty is there so she can choose the most productive and best father for her children and all of that. So your mother could choose anyone in the environment, 100, if she's beautiful, 1,000 young men. So then the question is, with all of that choice, why did she choose so badly?
I was analyzing it, and my opinion could be that she somehow also tried to change her past, because also her dad, like, at one time even had a drinking problem. So I think she somehow tried change also. It's like generational trauma. And then I found out this information was not long time ago, and it blew my mind. I like kept reading over and over. It was like, finally makes some sense why we do what we do. Because before it looked like, and I don't want to say destiny, but it's some kind of weird stuff that you want one thing and happen completely another, or terrible even.
Okay. Well, if I understand what you mean, you're saying that your mother chose badly because her mother chose badly.
Could be, but her mom died young, so she basically, my mom took care of her brother and her dad later even. So she became like kind of really intense, like controlling also person, like environment and everything. And I feel in her a lot of anxiety too, different kind of anxiety. So I think it was the way how she survived that act and become like pattern for rest of life.
Okay. So if your mother chose badly because her mother chose badly, is that what your mother says, or is that what you think?
I think it's more than I think. We don't talk. She considered it like she chose good, but as I see, it doesn't feel that way, it doesn't look like that way, because if we're good, we will be in peace, could be happy.
Right, okay. So, I don't believe that your mother chose badly because of her childhood. Because we speak the language that we grow up with, right? So, if I grew up in Japan, I'd speak Japanese. I grew up in England, so I speak English. And that's kind of a fixed thing. And so, if you grew up in Japan and your parents speak Japanese, you're going to speak Japanese. I mean, that's causal. And I get that. But I don't believe that we choose badly because our parents chose badly, because there are a lot of people in life who say, well, my father drank alcohol, so I don't touch it. I don't touch alcohol. My father was an alcoholic. I mean, Dr. Phil on TV in America, he's one of them, right? So there are a lot of people.
I know him.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who say that I don't do the bad things because my parents did the bad things. And then there are some people who say, well, I'm an alcoholic because my father was an alcoholic and so on, right? So there's a choice. There is a choice. You can't choose the language that you grow up with. That's your parents' choice and your where they choose to live and what they choose to speak to you and what they choose to teach you. So you can't choose the language that you speak growing up. But you can choose the language that you learn when you're an adult.
Yes.
And if you have the example of a mother who chose badly, the question is, and it's a big mystery, and I'm not immune from this. I didn't have the best relationship in my 20s, so I'm not nagging anyone. But it is a really interesting question, that if we grow up with bad examples, we could as easily say, I'm not choosing the bad things, as say, well, that's why I choose the bad things.
Yeah, it's kind of, you create your own life. And I was reading like Sartre, so he said, like, you feel like it's like you wait this, but in real way, you create that reality. So I created that reality, but I didn't realize at the time that I'm creating this reality. At the moment, I felt like a movie, it's happening. It's like, not like I'm a willing person who do it. It's like more like autopilot, maybe.
Sure. Sure. Well, I think that the difference is moral values. Because if you had grown up with good, or if you had discovered or figured out good moral values, then you would say, my parents, I mean, would you say, in the light of peaceful parenting, would you say that your parents were bad parents?
Well, I love them, so I can't say that.
There we go. Yeah. I wasn't sure that was your perspective, but that's why you chose badly.
Yeah, I kind of, let me explain, like, I'm kind of believing God, like, before even I was going to church, but I stopped because after all this experience, I noticed it's like even church is like kind of manipulative. It's like even this priest isn't saint. So,
okay, so I mean, do you still love your parents?
Yes, I still love them.
Okay, and what do you love about them?
I don't know, it's kind of, it's funny, sorry, it's like, I love them because they are my parents, and of course, with good moments too, not like all the time only fighting.
Well, if you can continue to love your parents, though they did you great harm and your sister by fighting and your father not being home, and also they did not stand firm in warning you against the controlling and eventually violent tattoo guy, if you can continue to love your parents, then you should get back together with the father of your child, because you can continue to love him as well.
No, I'm not. I feel
no, no,
like really
no,
disappointed.
No, no, you don't get to have that choice.
Yeah.
Because if you can continue to love bad parents, and they're still in your life, of course, right? You see them from time to time.
Yes.
Okay. So if you can make yourself love people because of obligation, then you should get back together with the father of your child, because having a two-parent household is best for the children. I mean, you know that, right?
Hang on, sorry.
I'll shut up in a second. If you can love your parents, then why can't you love the father of your child? Because you didn't choose your parents, you chose the father of your child. So why would you love people you never chose because of an obligation that is family, but not love the man that you did choose for the same obligation to family?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like really was like destroying my soul, this relationship. So I can't love person who destroy my soul, even naiveness, because I had kind of another kind of view to the world than now. I feel like everywhere could be betrayed and stuff like that.
Okay, so hang on. If you look over your whole life, and please understand, I'm not saying get back together with the father of your child. I don't know. I'm just pointing out this inconsistency, this difference.
Yes.
If you look at your life as a whole, who did more harm to you, your parents or your boyfriend?
I could say both.
Well, okay, let's put it this way. Who did more harm for you? Who did more harm to you for longer, your parents or your boyfriend?
It's very hard to say parents, but basically we were modeling how everything should be, and I now struggle a lot.
Okay, so your parents were still fighting into your 20s, right?
Yes.
Okay, so your parents modeled a hostile, aggressive, and I would imagine, though if it's not true, obviously tell me, did they call each other names?
Not names exactly, but we're like insulting phrases and disrespectful, like shouting, talking like a disrespectful way. So for me, that's why it's blind spotting on somebody like talk, and I even don't realize that we are disrespectful until I see another people's eyes, like after that work meeting, then another container start crying, and then I realize like, oh, this one disrespectful. So I mean, at that point it becomes so normalized.
Okay, I need you to get to a quieter place. It's tough to do a show with all of this background noise. So if somebody on a bus started shouting at you and using these horrible or disrespectful phrases, would you consider that abusive?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So your parents were abusive to each other, which means that they were abusive to their children.
Yes, it was.
So your parents were abusive to you for a quarter century, for 25 plus years. Do they still fight?
Like you said, like we fight, but less because it's older. We're older.
Okay, so they're still fighting, and you're 37 years old.
Yes.
Okay, so your parents have been destructive to your mind and sense of love and well-being for 37 years. You were with your boyfriend for 5 years. Lived with him for 4, right?
Yes.
Okay, it's just getting louder and louder. I'm really trying to have a good conversation.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Here,
I didn't plan the outside, but time is different between your place and mine change.
Okay. All right. So your parents have been harmful to you for 37 years. Your boyfriend was harmful to you for how long?
Well, 5 years later, I left him.
Well, oh yes, because you said he was controlling in the first couple of weeks, right?
Yeah.
Now, if your mother had sat you down and said, listen, my dear, my child, I see the signs, he is controlling, which means he will bully you. And he comes from an unstable family. And I have made my mistakes. I don't want you to repeat them. So you need to find a man from a good family who's genuinely kind. A tattoo artist is not a good father for your future children. And how old were you when you got together with the father of your child?
I was 24.
24. Okay, got it. So, I mean, old enough that you weren't like 19 or 18 or something like that. So you're old enough to make better decisions. And if your father had sat down and said, listen, your mother and I fight a lot, and you don't want a relationship where you fight a lot, and this guy is going to try to control you, which means you either have to give in and lose yourself, or you have to fight him, which is very hard. And so if your parents had helped you out and told you the truth about your boyfriend with their additional years of wisdom, then it's likely that you would be happily married today and not a single mother.
Yes, it touched my heart because I will be like deeply touched if we say that, but we say only first part, but it's like my choice, but not like that, for example, my mother, but it's like my choice. So at that moment, I thought like I did right choice, but obviously not.
So your parents want to respect your choice, right?
Yeah.
Did you want your parents to be fighting every day when you were a child?
No.
Okay. So they didn't care about your choice or your sister's choice when you were growing up. They didn't care at all about your choice because you didn't want them to be fighting all the time, but they fought all the time. So they don't care about your choice. Yeah. Let's be clear about that.
Yes, that moment we didn't think about it. We like to see like things happen and like outside of their will.
Well, I'm not sure what nonsense they came up with to talk about it, but they certainly don't care about your choices and preference, because if they did, I mean, every parent has to look in the mirror and say, is what I'm doing good or bad for my child in the long run? And
yes,
your parents indulged in petty fighting at the expense of you and your sister's happiness when you had no control over the situation, no choice to leave, and never chose to be there at all. So this is what I'm trying to understand, and you know, please help me understand it, is that your parents did far more harm to you than the father of your child. But you love your parents, and you left the father of your child. So help me understand. Okay, when you were growing up, were you spanked?
You mean hit?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And how often were you hit?
It was more in my early childhood, so I don't remember. I don't remember a lot, so I remember like time to time, but don't remember.
Okay. And do you know when you stopped being hit?
Maybe when I was 8, but was shouting continuous, like physical stuff. But
okay. Now, if you hired a babysitter for your son, and you came home and saw your babysitter hitting your son or your daughter, do you have a son or daughter?
A son.
A son. Okay, so you come home and the babysitter is hitting your son. What would you feel?
Oh, of course, I would be scared and take off my child. When he born, I made myself promise to be all the time with him as much as possible. And I did. I mean, I all the time was with him. He was like, I'm like kangaroo. I carry him in my pocket. So I try to be all the time alert and be everywhere with him.
Okay, how would you feel if you came home and saw the babysitter hitting your little boy?
At the moment, I take off my kid and say, what are you doing? Go off.
I'm not sure if you're hearing what I'm saying, because I know you're in a loud environment. Am I asking you, what would you do? No, I'm asking you, what would you feel?
It's scary, of course.
Okay, would you feel angry?
Yes.
Okay. Would you ever hire that babysitter again?
Never, ever.
Okay. Your parents hit you and your sister for years and years and years when you were very little. They yelled and insulted each other your whole life. I ask you again, what do you love about your parents. Love is how we feel when we are around virtuous, good, honest, kind, thoughtful, moral people. That's love. You wouldn't love a babysitter who hit your child once.
Yes.
But you love your parents who hit you hundreds of times, probably. So help me understand.
Well, we take care of us. I mean, grow up. I mean, we have things like food, my dresses. So it wasn't like, neglect physical way. I mean, but at the same time, was huge anxiety. And I don't remember a lot of things.
So you love your parents because they gave you food and shelter.
Yeah, take care of us.
Well, they didn't take care of your soul because they hit you and fought and insulted each other all the time.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. If a woman was thrown in prison at a young age, unjustly, the police manufactured evidence against her for some reason, and she was thrown in prison, and it was immoral, it was wrong, when she was little, or small, or young, let's say she was 18, 17 or 18, and she was in prison for 10 years, should she love the prison for giving her food and shelter?
I mean, exists like Stockholm syndrome. It's like you become
love. You said love. You said you love your parents. You didn't say I have Stockholm syndrome with my parents. You said you love your parents. So, if a woman is unjustly imprisoned for 10 years, should she get out and say, "I love the prison because it gave me food and it gave me shelter"?
No, it is what it is. It's like you're in prison and terrible.
Okay. Now, what if in the first couple of years of being in prison, she was also beaten? Should she love
it's
the
like
jailer for
survival.
Giving her? Yeah. Should she love the people in charge of the prison because they give her food and shelter, even though they beat her?
No, of course not.
Okay. So giving food and shelter is not enough for love. I mean, if someone kidnaps a woman, he gives her food and shelter. Should she love him?
No, of course not.
Of course not. So when you say, "I love my parents because they gave me food and shelter," that is not enough for love. I mean, they had to do that because they were parents. They had to give you food and shelter because if they hadn't given you food and shelter, what would have happened to them?
Bye.
Well, they would have gone to jail.
Yeah.
So society forces them to give you food and shelter. So they gave you food and shelter. They didn't care that much about your happiness, or they would not have hit you, or certainly wouldn't have fought for 37 years or more. So I ask again, you can't use food and shelter. What do you love and respect and treasure about your parents?
What a question. I just like have this feeling I love, but I cannot describe.
Well, if love can just happen and it doesn't need any virtues, tell me why you don't love the father of your child.
I don't love because it's like cruel, and obviously I feel like destroyed after it, and it's like destroyed my soul. It's like life become darker than it was before.
Okay, so hang on. Can you tell me, I mean, you said he got aggressive or violent near the end. When you say that he destroyed your soul, what do you mean? That's very poetic, and I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm not sure what that means in practical terms.
Yeah, it means, I don't know, it's after it kind of changed how you world for me looks like, people, I mean, could be really and scary and selfish and transactional, and even church looks like could be clean, but it could be a crappy person. So exist like safety, or like you say, victory looks like could be like dark side too of human nature. And
okay, sorry, very very abstract, and I'm sorry to be interrupting. Did he hit you?
he hit me one time, but second, I didn't allow. I say, if you do it again, I will call police.
Okay, so he hit you once. Did he hit your son?
He didn't hit, but he picked up his hair, and I did the same on him.
I'm sorry, it's a lot of background noise again. You said he didn't hit your son. Did he pulled his hair? Is that what? Sorry, I didn't quite catch that.
Yeah, exactly. He pulled his hair, and I did the same on him and say, "Did you like it? Why do you on kid?" I mean, I did like buffer myself. I tried between my son and him. I defend my kid. I didn't want allow it happen on him. Nothing bad. Like I said, I was all the time with my kid for more as possible for nothing happen on him.
Okay, so sorry. So he hit you once, but never again. He didn't hit your son, but he pulled his hair. Did he do that just once? Or after you said, don't do it again, did he stop?
No, he didn't stop. He tried more time, but I mean, I not allowed him. I tried to keep him away as possible.
Okay. So he hit you once. He pulled your child's hair a few times. And help me understand, and I'm not disagreeing with you. I just want to understand. I mean, your father did much worse, right?
Yeah, he basically left like whatever it was like away, and later like can't do nothing.
I didn't get any of that. Sorry.
Sorry, I don't know how to explain. I mean, my dad didn't hit me, but he like left at home and didn't check on us.
Oh, so your father didn't hit you, but your mother hit you?
No. Yes.
Okay, but you got your boyfriend to stop pulling your son's hair, so why didn't your father get your mother to stop hitting you?
I don't know. For me, it's like Mr.
Okay.
I don't know why didn't.
So he hit you once. He pulled your son's hair a few times. I don't understand how that destroyed your soul, because your parents did far worse to you, and you love them.
Well, I can't argue the feeling, but maybe, I mean, my child's dad opened for me this wound. I like was make up, everything is okay, we have Christmas, everything is right.
Right, and you said with your parents that you love them because there are good times. So why don't you love I'm not saying that you should love your boyfriend, I don't know. I'm questioning why you have two completely different moral standards. One is that the father of your child cannot be aggressive to him in any way, but you were hit repeatedly up until the age of 8, and it's both of your parents who are responsible for that. It's not like your father didn't hit you, so he's fine, but your mother did hit you, and so that's a problem, because he married a woman and did not stop her from hitting you. And knew that she was violent, I'm sure, pretty early on. So I'm trying to understand why your son is worth so much protection and you were not. Why it's very bad for the father of your child to be aggressed against, but it's fine for your parents to aggress against you. Why you throw out or toss out the father of your child for negative behaviors for a short period of time, and yet you love your parents who did far more negative behaviors for much longer. Your boyfriend was bad for, a year or two? Your parents were bad for 8 years in terms of hitting and for 37 years in terms of fighting and calling names and being verbally abusive in front of the children, which is to be abusive towards the children. I mean, if a father beats up a mother in front of the children, he's abusing the children even more so than he's abusing his wife, because his wife at least chose to be there, the children. And the wife can leave at any time, and with a lot of support from society. But the children didn't choose to be there and can't leave. So beating up your wife in front of your children is worse on the children and more immoral against the children than even against your wife. And so when your parents were yelling at each other and calling each other these negative phrases, then this was terrible for their children, very abusive towards their children. So that's what I'm trying to understand. You love your parents, though they treated you very badly as a child. And yet, if the father of your child does a few negative things, harmful things, of course, I agree, he's gone. So why do your parents get your love and the father of your child, who did much less wrong, gets your contempt? Again, if there's something I'm not seeing, I'm happy to be corrected.
I don't know. I mean, then I didn't have choice, like you say. But now I felt I want to protect this child, and he's pure, he's nice, and I want to keep his, like, innocent. I want to keep him like a child. I don't want he'd be like, you know, Stranger Things is like upside down world. I feel my entire life like upside down world. And I know what would happen to my kids. So as more I could, I always was there and protecting.
Okay. So if you allowed your boyfriend to beat your child or to hit your child for 8 years when your child was very little, your son, would you be happy with yourself or unhappy with yourself?
Unhappy.
Okay. Would you love yourself or have contempt for yourself if you allowed your child to be hit for 8 years?
No, I never could allow myself to do that.
Okay. So your mother did allow all of this and allowed for the verbal abuse to be in the household, which harms the children, for 20 years?
Yeah, basically.
Okay, so can she love herself?
Yeah, obviously she can.
So if a person has done evil, I'll just say it straight up. I'm not saying your mother is 100% evil. I don't even know what that means. But your mother did great evil and your father did great evil in how they raised you. And you know that because your boyfriend did far less harm and he's gone and you have a lot of negative feelings towards him, right?
Yes.
Okay. So your parents did great evil in their lives, and you love them. And your boyfriend did less evil, and you hate him or you feel negative towards him, right?
Yeah. I see him as a loser, as it is. He tried me, but I didn't allow. So, I mean, I felt like strong energy to defend my kids and finally take off myself from that situation.
Right. Okay. So why do you love people who did more evil and hate someone who did much less evil for much less time?
Good question. I don't know. I mean, I now start to analyze people who did evil. Like they have bad childhood or stuff like that. So I understand them. Make the reason awkward.
Okay, I need you to be closer to the microphone or less windy.
Yes.
Or something. Thank you.
Yeah. So,
you said that when you see people who do evil, you sympathize with their childhoods and you try to understand and analyze them and so on, right? And not to judge them too harshly?
Yes. I try, let's understand why things they do, why they do.
Okay, fantastic. So, did your boyfriend have a good and happy childhood?
Oh, terrible. It was like sometimes worse than mine.
Okay. So the father of your son had a terrible childhood. So
yes.
Why wouldn't you try to have sympathy with him and analyze him in the way that you do with other people who had bad childhoods?
I did. I mean, I analyzed. I thought if, I show love, I will try. It's different. I mean, maybe it'll be different outcome.
Well, but you've been doing this with your parents for decades, understanding them and analyzing them, and you love them.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of try to search reason why they behave like that.
Does your son want his father around?
No, he doesn't feel comfortable.
Okay, and I can't hear you. I don't know how to have this conversation if I can't hear you. I don't know why the sound is getting better or worse.
Mm-hmm.
So why doesn't your son want his father in his life?
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, but why?
he feel uncomfortable. I mean, he feel intense. I mean, he can have conversation, but not feel comfortable.
Why is he uncomfortable with his father?
Because he also like controlling him, asking where you are, what are you doing, and he feel uncomfortable.
Okay, and have you spoken negatively of your boyfriend to your son?
I mean, I explained him why we broke up, but I mean, child-friendly way, not like to scare him, but explain that not everything was okay, that's why. And I also not always try and protect him, so maybe that's energy, even on myself, he can feel it, that something is off.
Okay, so you said to your son that you broke up with his father because you needed to protect your son.
I mean, I told him that he wasn't nice to us and behaved badly. I mean, not okay that should people be in a situation. So I explained that part, but I didn't want to make him too much scary or something. So I explained his way.
Okay. And how often does your son see his father, if at all?
Not much, because he lives in another country and basically only calls and then his father wants. So, for example, he appears and it's like, I won't talk right now. But, I mean, I fixed even this part. I mean, if you talk, then your kid is comfortable. Not like when he wants, so only calls.
And why is his father in a different country?
He prepared that way, he moved there and have his life there. And I feel also comfortable that he's in another country. I don't want to live if he live here, so I'm okay.
Okay. So how often was your boyfriend seeing his son before he moved away?
Not much too. It's like once in a year.
Oh, once a year?
Yes.
Okay. And when you broke up, did he stop seeing his son right away?
He tried to call, like, often, also, like, ask, but it's, like, not the curious way, like, what are you doing, but more, like, controlling way, what are you doing, where are you? And it was, like, not genuine care. So, time by time, if you are nice, you can talk. If you are not nice, better call another time. So start call less. But I'm not against that, don't talk. But I mean, if you are nice, you talk nice, you can talk. But if you like make pressure, and I mean, like now when I say, see, I'm able to make boundary.
Okay.
I feel like I can, but now I say I can.
So if your son asks you, mommy, why did you choose a bad man to be my father? What would you say?
Like usual people would say, like, I did bad choice.
Yes, but why?
I don't know. That moment I thought is like good choice, but not much.
Okay, so you were together with this man for 5 years, living with him for four. And so what you're saying to your son is, how long were you with your boyfriend when you got pregnant?
1 year.
Oh, yeah. You were with him for a year. So you got pregnant after you'd known him for a year.
Yeah.
Okay. And did you think, I mean, you must have moved in with him and been with him for the next 4 years because you thought the relationship could work out.
Yeah.
Okay. So what you're saying to your son is that you can be in love with someone, they can seem like a good person, you can move in with them and have a child with them, and you can be with them for 4 years, so you can be with that person for half a decade before realizing that they're a bad person and you can't live with them. And what do you think that is going to do to your son's belief in love?
I really wish that he could have not a distorted view of love, but I probably think he could, because if I learned him that people can be good, can be bad, but it's like if you tolerate both.
Well, and you kind of lied in this last little bit, and it's not a big condemnation, I'm just sort of pointing it out, because you said that you would say to your son that you thought his father was a good person, But it turned out after 5 years, he wasn't, right? But you knew in the first couple of weeks that he was controlling. And you also knew that he was a tattoo artist, which is not a big plus in terms of moral character. Mm-hmm. I mean, tattoo artists hurt people and scar people for a living.
Well, I mean, I don't know which choice is better, like saying accept people who we are, but if you accept, you can end up like that. So, no.
It's tough. I mean, I'm looking at your parenting down the road. Because most women, if they have a child with a bad man, they have a defense. And they say, I didn't know he was a bad man for 5 years or 3 years or a year or something like that. But it's not true. Mm-hmm. It's not true. And what it does to children is it makes them very afraid of falling in love. Because if your son falls in love, he's like, oh, I want to give my heart to this person. She seems like a good person, but according to what my mom says, she could turn out to be a really bad person years down the road, and there's no way to know ahead of time. So he can't fall in love. He can't.
So I think I'm still on time, so your advice will be like, tell straight away. I'm like, so like that, for he have better, view of love.
Well, and also your son is going to grow up and he's going to say, tell me about your childhood, because you talk about childhoods and you talk about how people start in life and what effect it has on them. And he's going to find out, if you're honest, about how bad your parents were, right?
Yeah.
And then he's going to say, why do you love your parents and kicked out daddy? Because it doesn't seem like daddy was as bad as your parents.
Yeah, now I get it. Yeah, I really wish, for him better outcome than mine. But looks like repeating another kind of way.
Well, it's tough. And I think one of the reasons that you claim to love your parents is you want unconditional love from your son. You give unconditional love to your parents because you want unconditional love from your son.
Yeah, I want it.
Is it fair to ask for unconditional love from your son when you did not give unconditional love to his father?
No.
It's not.
Yeah.
Is it healthy for your son to grow up with the idea of unconditional love when he's growing up in a single mother household because his mother did not practice unconditional love, but in fact has had a lot of contempt and hostility to his father? Because if unconditional love is good, then you should love the father of your son who you chose. If unconditional love is bad, then you can't love your parents. This is the contradiction or the paradox that I'm trying to unravel here. So tell me this. Is it good or bad to have unconditional love?
No, it's bad. I mean, bring to haunted household. I don't want that.
Okay. So if it's bad to have unconditional love and your parents did you the most harm of anyone, why do you love your parents? Or is it right or good to love your parents?
It's like right to love.
I'm sorry?
I mean, it's right to love.
It's right to love your parents. Okay, so then unconditional love is good.
No.
So if unconditional love is good, why is the father gone?
Because he behaved really bad and destructive.
Yes. Were your parents bad and destructive when you were a child?
Yes.
Have they apologized for that and taken responsibility and gone to therapy or done whatever they need to do to be better?
No.
Okay. So why are your parents loved and the father of your child that you chose, why is he driven away?
For bad behavior, I mean, for unappropriate behavior.
Okay, but your parents still have bad behavior because they still fight, although less than before, right? But only because they're tired, yes. Not because they became better people. The purpose of parenting, the purpose of parenting is to teach your children how to love morally. Because you want your child to have a happy life. You want your child to have a better life than you did, as I want my child to have a better life than I had when I was growing up. And so if you teach your son to love without any judgment, to just fall in love and not to have any judgment, and to love no matter what the other person has done, will that be good for him?
No, of course not. It's terrible.
Okay, but you're modeling that with your parents.
Yeah, I understand now. So basically, that's the answer I'm looking for.
I think so. I think the boundaries need to be with your parents. My suggestion has always been to sit down with your parents and have an honest conversation, maybe get your sister involved so it's not just you. Have an honest conversation about some of the negative things they did when you were growing up, that they did not model love in a healthy way, and that they did not protect you, which is their job, from a pretty bad decision, I think, which was to get involved with the tattoo artist, right?
Yeah.
So they did not protect you, they did not help you, and they modeled bad relationships, and they fought all the time, which was very stressful for you as a child, and they used horrible phrases with each other, which was very destructive to you as a child, and they have not admitted fault. And I'll tell you why they fought. I guess we can end on this. Do you want to know why your parents fought?
What?
Well, you are a Christian woman. Do I have that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Your parents get together. Your parents got together for the sin of lust. Right? I don't know much about your father, but you say your mother was beautiful. And so your father got together with your mother because of lust. Now, lust is short term. So you get together, you get married, you have children based upon mere physical attraction. And then you end up stuck together because you have kids and you're married.
Yeah.
And sorry, for how long have you been a Christian?
All my life, basically. I had in studies a teacher who say a really interesting thing that when you don't have or have absent father, your father in you is like God. So probably that's why reason I believe in God all my life. I mean, since I was a child.
Sorry, you've been a Christian your whole life?
Yes.
Why were you fornicating?
Oh, what means?
Oh, sorry. You had sex before marriage.
I mean, we was planning to marry, first thing. And second thing is kind of, I mean, I did what another person want in that moment.
That's not,
I was that, like,
oh, no, 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 no. Come on. Christianity isn't do what other people want if they want you to sin. There's nothing in the Bible that says if a sinner wants you to sin, you should sin with him.
Yeah.
Why did you have sex before marriage? Why did you move in without requiring marriage? Why did you sin if you're a Christian? And it wasn't just a one-time thing. This was repeatedly. Or are you not a Christian who takes things very seriously? Are your parents Christians?
Not much. I mean, like in theory, but I mean, I myself not like that strict Christian, like super strict, but I mean, I believe
in
that.
Hang on. What do you mean super strict? Does the Bible say don't have sex before marriage?
Yeah, no, I get it.
No, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be a finger wagging guy. I'm not trying to nag you. Does the Bible say, don't live with a man, but rather get married?
I mean, before we live, I give him like rules. I say, if I live with you, I want to marry, and we was engaged. But when I saw it's too much, I delay this marriage until finally I just leave him. I was myself who kind of declined. He was like, could marry me tomorrow. But I myself keep distance because I felt something is off. So I felt like dangerous, but at the same time like something too much familiar.
So and you're raising your son to be a Christian, is that right?
No, I mean, after all this experience, I mean, I believe
sorry,
in that.
Sorry, you're
but
still you're still a Christian.
No, I'm not Christian then, and that way, I mean, I don't go to church anymore. I feel kind of this institution general like fake. So I believe in God, but my own God.
Okay. So, sorry, you said I've been a Christian my whole life, but you're not a Christian now?
No, then, yeah. If like, in, like, do what the Bible says, and no more.
Okay. So, but you were a Christian in your 20s.
Yeah, I was.
Okay, so, I mean, it's kind of easy then, right? If your son says, why did you choose a bad man to be my father? You said, because I sinned.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believed in these morals, but I didn't follow them. I did kind of the opposite of what I thought was the good. And, you know, that's easier. Because then if you say, well, I had a bad relationship because I sinned, then if he finds a woman who doesn't sin, he can trust her, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's easier and better. Okay, so sorry, that was just a little side quest there. I just wanted to understand that. So the reason why your parents fought is because they were sinners, because they got together on the basis of lust. Now, according to Christianity, should you marry for lust?
No, of course.
No, you should marry. What should you look for to marry?
Like you always say, virtue. You look like...
Virtue, okay. So,
yes.
Your boyfriend was not virtuous, right?
No, obviously not.
Okay. Well, you knew that in the first couple of weeks. So,
yeah.
Your parents got together for lust, for sexual attraction, and then they got stuck together. You know, the devil gives you what you want in the short run, but takes everything from you in the long run. So the devil allowed your parents, in a way, to get together and to satisfy their lust. And then they were stuck with each other, and they didn't like each other because they weren't good people. And
yeah,
so
they stuck like for eternity.
Yeah, so they get the heaven together of a couple of months of hot sex or whatever, right? And that's the drug. And that's what the devil offers them. You can satisfy the lusts of your body for a couple of months, maybe 6 months, whatever, right? And then you're stuck together after 6 months for the next 60 years. You are chained together in your sin, in your lust, in your fornication. And so your parents fought because they were sinners who were stuck together because they got together out of lust rather than admiration of virtue. And therefore, when you get together for lust, you get a short amount of sex. And then in the long run, you get a lot of fighting and not much sex at all. So you get 6 months or a couple of months of hot sex, and you hold your nose because you're only having sex with the person's body. You're treating them as an object, as a thing to satisfy your lust. And then when you wake up, as people always do, you wake up from that sexual haze, that sexual coma, that sexual delirium, you wake up and you're chained to each other in hell. And that's a lot of people's relationships, and that's why they fought, and you got together with the tattoo guy for lust. And you had sex together because of lust, but you didn't like each other as people. So then what you do is you say, oh man, I'm chained together with this person I don't like because of lust. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to fix them. So I'm going to turn them into someone I could love when I chose them out of lust. And your parents have been trying that for 50 or 60 years. You tried that for half a decade, and it doesn't work. Because what you should say is, do I respect this person morally? And everyone knows that. I'm not, you know, the funny thing is that a lot of what I say, everybody knows already. I don't claim particular originality in the realm of moral philosophy to say that you should get together with someone because they're a good person, right? Because you choose your partner based upon how good a parent they're going to be to your future children, because that's what love and partnership and pair bonding is all about, is raising children. So when I say you should marry a person based on virtue, not based on physical attraction, everybody knows that. This goes way back even before the Bible. This is, you know, choose a person for qualities of character. I mean, even in the Bible says it's better to live in a corner of the roof in the rain than in a house with a contentious woman, with a nagging wife. And so we should choose people based upon the qualities of their character and their virtue and their goodness and their kindness and their thoughtfulness and their moral strength. That's why we should choose people. And everyone says, yeah, 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 but she's hot, she's pretty, he's tall, he's whatever, right? He makes my nether regions tickle, right? He gets me sexually excited, he gets me hot and bothered. And then we get together like animals, and then we wonder why we don't have sustainable love. So your parents fell prey to the sin of lust. And it sounds like, given that this man was a bad man at the beginning, like he was controlling within the first couple of weeks, but you stayed with him for 5 years, then you stayed with him for reasons of lust. And you don't want your son to do the same thing. And so your parents, I mean, what are your parents going to say to you? You should choose your husband or your wife based upon the quality of character when they don't have any quality of character. In fact, they sound like pretty horrible people that if they were sitting next to me at a restaurant, this is one of my big tests. If I was sitting next to your parents when they were fighting at a restaurant, I would get my food to go, or I would ask to move tables because I hate being around that kind of bitter, negative, horrible squabbling. So your parents fought because they don't like each other, and they only got together because of lust, because lust is easier than virtue. Wanting to have sex with someone is a whole lot easier than being a good person. Just like taking cocaine is easier than being a good person, because cocaine makes you happy. Being a good person makes you happy, but it's a tough thing to do. And so your parents are together because of lust, and they are now in the prison. They're stuck with each other because they chose because of lust. Now, you broke out of the prison, but I still don't know if you know why you got into the prison. You got into the prison because you chose someone based upon a standard other than virtue. Now, you are a young woman, 37, youngish, and so going forward in your life, you said you want boundaries. Well, the only boundary that matters is virtue. The only standard that matters is virtue. And you need to be virtuous, and you need to have virtuous people in your life. And you certainly need to have virtuous people in your son's life, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I wanted to ask you how to get out of hell. I mean, look like I entertained the devil too much.
Well, the only way to get out of hell is to be brutally honest with yourself. And I say this, it was difficult for me as well, so I say this with great sympathy. You have to stop being a victim. If you are a victim, you can't have any boundaries because you have self-pity and you feel hard done by and you feel wronged. You chose this man and you were in your mid-20s when you chose him, so you weren't a kid. You had the example of your parents' bad marriage, and you just have to be ruthlessly honest with yourself and say, why did I choose this person? And the answer, almost always, is lust. And that is a sin because you're unhappy and your child is growing up without a father. Now, that's not some endless disaster or anything like that, because it's never too late to choose virtue.
I want to switch to, I'm a mom, repeat it over and over.
Okay. Then you also have to have an honest conversation, in my view, with your parents and say, look, guys, you did some bad things when I was growing up, and it had a negative effect on me. And have a conversation with them about the bad things that happened. Because, of course, if you don't know or understand about the bad things that your parents did when you were growing up, you're more likely to repeat them. Now, it may be difficult, of course, because as a single mother, I assume that your parents are quite important in raising your son.
Yes.
Right. So
I tried to talk with my mom, and she just like said, how dare you? But I mean, I really like one day if they ask why I do things I do, explain.
Okay. Well, if you're dependent upon your parents to raise your son at the moment, then maybe it's not wise to have an honest conversation with them, as long as you're sure that they're not harming your son. Because if they were bad parents themselves, and they haven't apologized or made anything better, then it seems quite likely that they also might do negative things towards your son. Not consciously, maybe not in the same way, but that would be my concern. And I don't know, of course, how to solve that. But I think you just have to be honest. If you can't have an honest conversation with your parents, and if your parents won't take any responsibility for their negative actions, then, I mean, maybe you still need them because you need someone to look after your son. But I wouldn't go around saying, oh, but I love them. They're such wonderful moral people and so on, right?
Mm-hmm.
That would be my suggestion.
Okay, thank you. I really have deep insight. And of course, I just didn't laugh. Don't repeat it. And I really want my son to have better choices.
Good stuff. All right. Well, listen, I appreciate the conversation. And I just wanted to express my deep sympathies for what happened as a child to you. And I certainly wish you the very best. And please feel free to let me know how things are going.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All the best.
Listen.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.